So I was born in 1950. So if you do the math, I'm old. So I came of age in the 60s and 70s, and I went off to college, and in college I had a problem, and the first problem was I couldn't pass any classes. So I ended up in psychology. I'll just let that sink in for a second. And I was not a believer in college. In 1975, I gave my life to Jesus. And I was I was actually at the very end of my major in psychology. And as I was there, I was being taught lots of things. And one of the things that was really hot at the time was Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The highest realm that you could attain was self-actualization. Self-actualization, that you could come to know yourself, that you could come to your full potential when you fully knew who you were and grasped everything about you. That kind of bugged me. as a new creation in Christ, as a new believer, everything that I was being taught, you know, I don't want to step on anybody's feet. If you're a psychology major, please stick with it. But life apart from God, life without God in the equation, doesn't work. It just wasn't working. As I was learning these things, as I was being taught these things, God was always left out. It was all about you. It was all about you acquiring all of the things that you needed. And I have no idea if this thing works. All of the buttons are covered up. So, oh, that one. All right. Ha! So the problem I had was that I was learning all of these things, but God was being left out. So you were supposed to be for self-fulfillment and self-esteem, self-love, get self-confidence, be self-aware, be self-sufficient. All of these things that were being told that this was the way that you came to your full purpose in life, that you came to your ultimate aim in life. In the 2000s, this changed into a system called positive psychology, they said, well, we've been dwelling too much on your past, thinking that if you just got rid of your past and learned, you know, got over your problems with your mom and dad and all those things that were in your past, that you would be we're just going to be positive now. And so you're going to reach your personal happiness, your well-being, your purpose through positive subjective experience, which is another way of saying it's all about you. Now it's as we go into the current times, it's the me culture. The me culture, where me first. In fact, the ultimate thing of the me culture is what? Me. Well, but what do you take? You take a selfie. So who's it all about? It's about me. It's about the self. So all of these things going on, and so in the midst of my psychology program, I walked away. I just said, this is not the answer. This is not the answer that we're searching for. This is not the way to become self-fulfilled and full of self-esteem and love yourself. The Humanist Manifesto was written in 1933, and the eighth tenet of the Humanist Manifesto is this. Humanism considers the complete realization of human personality to be the end of man's life and seeks its development and fulfillment in the here and now. This is the explanation of humanist social position. See that human personality that is the end of man's life. That realizing who you are and getting a hold of yourself is the highest thing you can do. In fact, it's creeped into the church as well. It really has the, you know, you read books like, you know, like live your best life now. Or be true to yourself. How often do you hear somebody say, be true to yourself. Just be true to yourself. I was looking through, searching through the interweb, and I came across this quote on a Christian website, a Christian magazine. It says, to love your neighbor as yourself, you need to love yourself. Sorry, folks, but as my dear, lovely, beautiful little wife used to say, that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not about loving yourself. It's about loving others. It says the Bible, he goes on to say, the Bible even tells us that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus. And he says this, how dare we not love what the Father loves? Learning to love ourselves prepares us to help us to love our neighbors. So in other words, before you can ever love your neighbor, you've got to become self-actualized. You've got to love yourself. You've got to have self-esteem. You have to have all those things. So as you go through the Bible, as you look at the Bible, Solomon tried it. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon researched, did all this, the work he could on actualizing yourself apart from God. He called it life under the sun. And he says that at the end of it, it's just striving after the wind. There's nothing there. It's empty. It's futile. In fact, the beginning of the book and the end of the book say what? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. The psalmist knew it, and the psalmist tells us it's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. It's not the wise man. It's not the smart guy. It's not the scientist who's researched everything. It's not the philosopher. It's the fool who says, there is no God. So if you say there's no God, the Bible says, you're a fool. And that's what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that a life that's centered on self and a life focused on me is really a life apart from God. A life centered on myself, where I'm first, focused on me and what I need, is ultimately a life that's being lived apart from God and what God wants. So the paradox. So Jesus taught us too. When his disciples came up to him and said, Lord, we want to be the greatest. How can we be the greatest? We want to be great. What did Jesus say? If you want to be great, be the servant of all. Oh, well, no. We mean we want to be first. We want to be the first. Jesus said, you want to be first? Be last. That's a paradox. That's where it seems to be a contradiction until you really look into it and really begin to understand what's being said. And so Jesus, as he answers the question of how do I realize myself, how do I get to all of the things I want, to self-actualization and to know myself and all those things, Jesus says this, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You want to find yourself? What does Jesus say? Lose yourself. And that sounds so counterintuitive, right? If I want to find myself, I need to dig harder. I need to look more. I need to find a way to understand myself. Jesus says, no. The best way for you to do it is to deny yourself and live for others. Deny yourself and live for others. What does it mean to deny ourselves? It means to take all of those things that we think are important, they're so important to us, and put them aside. And in doing so, as I do that, and do the things that God calls me to do, I will find myself. In Philippians, Paul tells us this, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor," Paul tells the Corinthian church. They were in the midst of all kinds of troubles. And so what does Paul say? Forget about yourself. Forget about getting what you want and what you need and what you think is best and everything that you have on your to-do list and all of that. Don't look to your own good. Look to the good of your neighbors. In Galatians 5:24, Paul says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have done what? They've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." As we sang this morning, the cross bids me to come and do what? Come and die. Deny yourself. If any man will follow me, come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Now, a lot of us have heard that that means, oh, you have a cross to bear. You have some terrible thing in your life that you just have to carry through life because it's just your burden in life to carry that. That's not what it means. It means to deny yourself. It means to die to yourself. It means to take up the cross. The cross was the instrument of death in the Roman Empire. And so die to yourself so that you might live for me. Die to yourself that you might live your life. We have great examples throughout the Word of God. The book of Ruth. Ruth denies herself to serve Naomi. Esther denies herself to serve all of Israel. And again, if we are always looking for an example, the best example of denying yourself, Sunday school class, the answer is Jesus. We just had communion, and it was that very night. Before communion, what did Jesus do? He got up, put on the clothes of a servant, humbled himself, and washed the disciples' feet. It wasn't his own needs that he was after. He was looking to the needs of others. Paul tells us again in Philippians, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the very form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptying himself, he took on the form of a servant." If you want to be great in God's kingdom, be the servant of all. If you want to be first, make yourself last. If you want to save your life and find out who you are, lose your life to Jesus. So denying ourselves. But if denying ourselves is one side of the coin, then what's the other? Because if I just go around denying myself, well, I could just lay under my bed all day long and not do anything. But Jesus doesn't leave us there. He doesn't say just deny. He says, okay, deny yourself. Yeah, that's right. Put yourself second, third, fourth, last. But live for others. That's the flip side of denying ourselves. Denying ourselves is so that we can live for others. We can make others more important than ourselves. When the lawyer came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law?" What does Jesus tell him? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But we don't think that means loving ourselves first, right? "Because on these, all of the commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Deuteronomy 6:5 is where Jesus draws on the commandment that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. It's the loving others as we would like to be loved. As we would like to be loved. Doing for them what we could do. Real love for God. How do we love God? How do you love God? You know, we come to church every Sunday. We sing, we worship and pray. We, you know, tell God we love him. But how do we show God we love him? The passage that Ali just read. How do you show God you love him? By loving others. By loving others. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory with all his angels with him, when he shall sit upon his glorious throne, all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And he will say, come. For when I was hungry, when Jesus says who? When I was hungry, you gave me food, something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. And the people go, when did we see you, Jesus? When did, he says, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. You want to love God? Love your neighbor. The two are just interwoven. The two are bound together. Loving others is loving God. When we serve others, we serve God. When we help others, we're doing God's what God wants us to do. We're living our life for others. Of all the things that could be said about Jesus, when you come to the book of Acts, in Acts 10:38, as Peter is delivering his message, he says this about Jesus. Jesus, and he could have said so many things, but he just says, Jesus went about doing good. If you want to follow Jesus, if that's your desire to follow him, if you want to come after him, then what are you going to do? You're going to do good. You're going to do the things Jesus would do. And Jesus went about doing good. Again, Mark 10:43. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be a slave to all. And then Jesus adds, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We all know John 3:16. We sang it this morning. We repeat it often as we think about witnessing to others. But it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. The heart of God is giving. And who did he give? His only begotten Son. He gave the very best he had. He gave himself for us. Of course, John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And we always think about that. If time comes, I'll be a martyr for God. You know, I'll give my life for it. What about giving your life every single day by living for others? Not waiting for some grandiose moment when you get to stand up and give your life, but give it daily, every day. In fact, Luke, when you come to this same passage in Luke, Luke says, if anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me and deny himself daily, every single day of our life. So spending a life of service to others, spending our life living for others, is what real love is. Real love is giving ourselves away. Now, servants of all, being focused on God and living for others instead of for ourselves, instead of being focused on actualizing my full potential as a human being. I actualize that full potential when I serve others, when I help others, when I give myself away for others. So life centered on God and focused on others is abundant life. Remember, life centered on myself and focused on me is a life apart from God, but a life that's centered upon God and focused on others is what Jesus calls the abundant life. It's a paradox, but it's true. The more you give yourself away, the more you will get. The more you lose yourself, the more you'll gain. All those things, self-fulfillment, self-esteem, self-love, self-confidence, self-awareness, self-sufficiency. Let's just take away self. If you take away self, guess what you still have? Fulfillment, esteem, love, confidence, awareness, sufficiency. All those things you were working so hard to gain for yourself, they're already yours. And where do we find them? In Christ. It's in denying myself and living for others that through Christ and in Christ and by his sacrifice for me and through his life indwelling me and the Spirit filling me, that I am fulfilled. I find fulfillment. I find the esteem, all the esteem I need. I don't need any because he has filled me with it. Am I loved? You betcha. Not because I sought it, not because I worked hard for it, not because I tried and tried with all my might to find love for myself, but because in Christ I am loved. And I have the confidence in him to stand in him daily, and the awareness of everything going on around me, and the sufficiency, the all-sufficiency, everything that I need, everything that I want, everything I could possibly strive for is found in Christ. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. Father, we give you all praise, glory, and honor that you have not set up a world where we have to strive and work and labor and exert all of our efforts to know ourselves, to find love, to be fulfilled, to have the esteem that to know that you love me because you gave your only son. And that in him, all of those things I desired for myself, they've either faded away or you have fulfilled them. All sufficiency is in you. All that I have is because of you. All that I am is because of you and who you are and what you have done for me through the cross of Christ, in whose name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Jesus, as you stood before your disciples, you told them that they should go and do good things. They should go and do good deeds. That they should let their light so shine before men that they would see those good deeds and glorify the Father who is in heaven.
God, we worship, we serve, we love you as we serve and help others. Help us, God, be our light, be our strength. Help us to love you by loving our neighbor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So go out and give yourself away. Amen.